We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad for us, and our guest this morning is Pastor Joe Thompson. How are you this morning?
I am doing well, and as usual, you'd have to ask my wife whether I'm good, but I'm doing well, as always.
It's good to see you this morning.
It's good to be in the presence of the Lord no matter where you're at, and so in a way, this is like being in another church service. You can't see everybody out there, but they can see us.
That's
so
right.
It's always good to be in the Lord's presence, which we are 24/7. We just sometimes are a little bit more aware of it.
Good point. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook page, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is the Refuge Church, now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I got it all.
All right.
Would you like to pray to start us out?
I will. Father, I just want to say thank you for this opportunity to be able to come together and to share your word, to be able to lift up the name of Jesus and to help people to understand his great love for them and the fact that they can communicate with him whatever their need is and their problem, and he hears and he answers. Father, I just pray today that you will do the work that you want to do for those who are listening now, those who might listen later. And I pray that when it's all said and done, that you will receive the praise, the glory, and the honor that is due unto you. Lord, remind us that we walk with you each and every day, and you never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, that no matter what comes our way, you are there with us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, Ask, Seek, Knock.
Well, you know, that actually comes straight out of Scripture, which I think maybe we should spend a little bit more time in Scripture seeing what God says rather than what we think about and understanding what God truly says. Sometimes we give advice, and it's not advice that God says, well, that's not really what it is. And we can sometimes have a tendency to misinterpret Scripture, which I'll be honest with you, everybody does that. Even the most scholarly people, if they're honest, admit that, you know, hey, I've misinterpreted this Scripture before. But I think today, as we're looking at prayer out of Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, it's really, when we have needs in our life, it really is as simple as asking, seeking, and knocking. And I want to read for you that passage real quickly, and then we'll talk a little bit about it and how to ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your sons ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him. Read a story here a while back on the internet, a true story, and it was talking about two 74-year-olds who were getting married for the very first time. It comes out of the United Kingdom. And it was about a man and a woman, and the man had asked the woman to marry him whenever they were both 34 years old. And she had refused to do so because she was upset with him over some item. The story doesn't say, but I would guess it was probably a trivial item, and just the idea, you know, of, no, you made me mad. But for the next 40 years, the man every day wrote a note expressing his love for her, and he would slip it under her door. In those 40 years, she had never responded in any way, shape, or form. Never sought to see him, never gave him a phone call, never did anything at all. Finally, after 40 years of this happening, the man decided, you know what, I've had enough. And so he goes up the next morning, and he knocks boldly on the door. And when she answers the door, he immediately says, "Will you marry me?" To which she replied, "Yes." And soon after, they were married. You know, I think that's a good illustration of what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples, what he's trying to teach us in our scripture passage today. The man asked and he failed to receive the answer he was looking for. And so for the next 40 years, he kept seeking to gain the answer that he wanted. In this case, sometimes when we ask, seek or knock, we don't get the answer we wanted. We get the right answer, but not the one we necessarily wanted. Mm-hmm. But finally, after he asked, and then he was seeking by sliding the notes under the door, and then finally he knocked on the door. And when it was open, he got the answer that he had been seeking for 40 years. And Jesus encourages us not to make prayer difficult by slogans or formulas. There's nothing wrong with having a formula to pray by, don't get me wrong. But if we make the formula the primary way of doing it, then we focus on the formula rather than what we're praying for. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whatever you're doing, just make sure that you're focusing on who you're praying to, however you choose to pray. And he says, really, prayer is simply, at least for our needs, prayer is simply as simple as asking, seeking, and knocking. That's all you have to do. Mm-hmm. Remember that. Just remember that. And those three words spell out the word ask. So if you can spell ask, mm-hmm. A, ask, S, seek, K, knock, you know. Then you can remember it. Ask, seek, and knock. And one of the things we need to understand also is that prayer is the main purpose of prayer is for us to move into a deeper relationship with God. It's more than just asking God about what we need. It's communication with the one who we need most in our life. You know, we all need friends. We need our family, both our physical family and our church family. We need all of these in our life, and God provides them for us. But more important than all of those, we need to make sure that we have him first and foremost in our life. And God's always urging us to move into a deeper relationship with him, and prayer is one of the primary ways we do that. Mm-hmm. Of course, reading scripture, spending time with God in his word is another way, but prayer and scripture are probably the two first and foremost ways that we move into a deeper relationship with God. And so when we think about asking, seeking, and knocking. How do we do that? What do we do? Sounds simple. It is simple. But sometimes we make it a lot harder than what it is. Mm-hmm. whenever Jesus says for us to ask, it means simply come to God with your need and you will receive. It's asking for our needs to be met. It's recognizing that if God doesn't help us, we are helpless. Mm-hmm. We alone cannot figure out how to live life. We alone can't meet all the needs that we have in life. We try to be self-sufficient. That's one of the things that happened in the fall, is that we were depending, mankind began to depend upon themselves rather than God. And we can't make it through this world in a good fashion without God in our lives. And so we're to come to God with humility and with a consciousness of the need that we have. And the implication is that we would come to God as a child would come to his or her parent with a need that they have. And so, you know, a child might come to mom and dad, and especially when they hit those growing years, I'm hungry. And you're going, you might be saying, like my mom used to say, my mom would say, you know what? I understand that you might be hungry, and I just want you to know that I'm trying to keep you alive. I'm not trying to keep you full.
That's a good one.
And so, you know, we come to the Lord, food for a family or money for the rent or for the house payment. We all need a place to live. Mm-hmm. It might be that. We might be coming to the Lord for a wayward child, a person who's strayed away from the Lord. It may be a child. It may be a friend. Might be that we need to make a decision. Lord, I have this opportunity to do this, or Lord, where I'm at's not really where I want to be. Sometimes when we pray those prayers, God says, maybe it's not where you want to be right now, but it's where I want you to be right now. And maybe you'll realize later it's where I need you to be. But, you know, we have to be open to God's answers whenever we pray. So sometimes we come to God with those specific requests. Sometimes we come to God as a baby even. We know that we need something, but we don't really know how to express what we need. Mm-hmm. You know, we just know we need something. In this case, we would cry out to God just simply like a baby would cry out when they're hungry or tired or needing a diaper change, when they don't feel well. And we don't know exactly how to pray. We don't know how to get the answer we want. But we can just say, God, I don't know. And we're crying out to him. And if we don't know how to pray, that's okay too. Mm-hmm. Because Romans tells us in Romans 8:26-27, if we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of the wordless sighs of our aching groans. That's out of the Message, Eugene Peterson's paraphrase. So we need to make sure that we're coming to God in whichever way that we need to come to him. Sometimes we have a direct request. Sometimes we don't know how to pray, what to pray for, and say, God, I'm just trusting you to meet this need however you choose to. There's a true story about F.B. Meyer, who was a great evangelist from years gone past, and he was asked to address the first-class passengers on a ocean liner that was crossing the Atlantic. And so at the captain's request, he spoke on answered prayer. Well, there was an agnostic who was at the service and was asked by his friends, what do you think of Dr. Meyer's sermons? He answered, well, I didn't believe a word of it. Well, then that afternoon, Dr. Meyer was asked to speak to the fourth class passengers. And so a lot of the listeners who were there that morning went along, including the agnostic, who claimed he wanted to hear what the babbler had to say. So before the service, the agnostic had put two oranges in his pocket that were available there. And as he was on his way to the fourth class section of the ship, there was an elderly woman who was sitting there in her deck chair, fast asleep. And her hands, I'm assuming, were, she was probably kind of sleeping like this, you know, leaned back in her chair with her hands open. And the agnostic thought, I'm going to have a little bit of fun. I'm just going to put these two oranges into this woman's hand, you know. And it'd be interesting to see or to hear perhaps what happens. Well, when the service was over, the agnostic came back by, and he saw the old lady happily eating one of the pieces of fruit. And he said to her, "You sure seem to be enjoying that orange," he said with a smile. "Yes, sir," she replied. "My father is very good to me." Remember, this is an old lady. "Your father? Surely your father can't be alive." "Praise God," she replied. "He's very much alive." "Well, what do you mean?" pressed the agnostic. She explained, "I tell you, sir, I have been seasick for days. I was asking God somehow to send me an orange, and I suppose I fell asleep while I was praying, and when I woke, I found he had not only sent me one orange, but two." The agnostic was speechless, and later on, he became a Christian. But that's just the idea of what prayer can do, you know. Here she is, she's asking God for the oranges, and they show up. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have a clue how they do, but somehow they do. And then, of course, we have this story, a true story of how God answered the prayer through an agnostic. And so if you expect to receive, you're going to have to ask first. Mm-hmm. The follow-up to verse 7 there is, for everyone who asks, receives. And so we need to make sure we ask to receive. You're not going to receive if you don't ask, is the implication here. The second thing that Jesus is saying here is seek. And that means that we're pursuing God's will in our prayers. And asking God to answer prayer your way is really, really foolish. And it's easy for us to think that we know what is best for us. And sometimes we do know what's best. But other times, we may be asking for something that's totally outside of the will of God. It appears to be good. It might even be good, but God says, "No, I have other plans for us." And we don't know the ultimate will that God has for us and for our lives and how we are to interact in the lives of others. And really, when it comes down to it, if we are asking God to answer our prayer the way that we want it to, we're being selfish, we're acting in defiance. We're saying, "God, I know what's best for me." And that's not God's will for us. He says, "I know what's best for you. I created you. I'm the one who is able to meet the need in the right way." My pastor, when I was growing up, would often tell the story about a man whose son had fallen ill. It was a serious illness that was going to lead to his death. I don't remember what the illness was. It was a true story, one that he was aware of. And the man was a Christian. The dad was a Christian. But he told God, he says, "If my son doesn't live, I will never serve you again." Well, his son ultimately did live, but he was an invalid for the rest of his life. Later on in life, the man remarked, "God answered my prayer the way I demanded, but I paid the price for my demand." And so we need to be careful that we don't demand God answer prayers in a certain way, because God might answer that prayer, but we will pay the price for that demand. This man had to take care of his invalid son the rest of his life, you know, and then don't know if he passed away first or the son passed away first, but if the man passed away first, who's going to take care of his son? Mm-hmm. You know, God's will is always the best solution for us. Seeking God's will means that you're going to explore his best for you. You don't demand him to answer your request in a certain way. I've told it before of a lady, of a girl I was sweet on in high school, and thought that, you know, oh, she's beautiful, had a good personality, all these things. But I went off to college, and she went other way, got married. And I saw her about 16, 17 years later, and she came up and said hi to me, and I didn't even recognize her. She had gotten on addicted to meth, and lost most of her front teeth, and I would have been in my 30s at the time, and she looked like she was in her 50s, you know. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, she got her life turned around, doing well now, but, you know, it's just one of those things that you have to allow God to provide for you the best. And don't get in a hurry to have God answer your prayer, because God's timing is always the best for us as well. Bring your options to God. Bring the time that you would like for him to, the time frame you'd like for him to answer it into him. But understand that his way is the best way. And if we can remember that, then life goes so much easier for us. When you have a problem that doesn't have a solution, remember, God does. He has the right solution. He knows what that solution will be. And God's solution is always the best solution. We can look back on life and see how God has worked in our life, and see where we've allowed God to provide for us the solutions, and we begin to go, man, I'm glad God worked that way. And it's important for us to remember what Isaiah says in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. And he's quoting here from God. He says, I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. For as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way you think, the way I think is beyond the way you think. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. And so when you allow God to work his way, it's always going to be good. There may not be good things along the way, but it's always going to come out good in the end. And the reason why it may not always be good along the way is because we live in a world of sin. We live in a world where, you know, the devil's going to oppose us. So we ask, we seek, and then we knock. That means we persevere in prayer. And we've probably all had someone who has come to our door and persistently knocked on it, or persistently rang the doorbell, if we have a doorbell, until we've answered it. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's that kid who's wanting you to buy a candy bar. And it's hard to turn down a kid with a candy bar. Because, one, we're usually wanting to support the kids, let them know, you know, we're love them, and they're usually raising something, money for something good in their school or an organization they're in. But there are other times when it might be someone who's bringing a person bad news. You know, during World War II, and when soldiers were fighting the war abroad in Europe and in the Asian Pacific, the parents of servicemen were always dreading that knock on the door because it might mean that their son had been injured or killed in the line of duty. And so we're trying to hope that that's not what this is. It might be times that you hear a knock on the door and you look out the window and you see that person, you go, not answering the phone for the, or not answering the door for that person. It's the equivalent, you know, of kind of like the spam calls we get today. I'll be honest with you, if I get a phone call and I don't recognize the number, I rarely answer it if it's outside of this area code, because I can always call them back, but I don't have time to answer anywhere from 3 to 15 calls a day of people trying to sell you something. And we need to understand that there's always things knocking on the door of our lives. We get to choose whether to answer it or not. But we also have to understand that Jesus says, I don't care if you knock on the door. I don't care if you have a need. I'm going to hear. I'm going to open that door. I'm going to meet that need. And again, as we've already talked about, he may not meet it the way that we want, but he's going to meet it. Another thing about knocking is that God builds our perseverance in prayer. It seems like sometimes we're praying and we hit that brass ceiling you hear people talk about, where our prayers go up to the ceiling and they bounce right back down. And your prayer goes up before God and you're going, God, where are you? You pray and you pray, you don't hear anyone moving inside the house, so to speak, and it appears that you're locked out. But perseverance helps to build our faith. You know, if God answered every prayer your way in your time, would it build your faith? Not at all.
Only in our asking.
not at all. You know, Jesus gives a story in Luke chapter 18 where the persistent widow keeps coming back to the judge because she knows she's in the right. And she comes. Finally, he answers the prayer. And Jesus points out how important it is for us to keep going to him in prayer. And then he kind of ends that little section with, he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And I think what Jesus is saying here is that, one, I'm going to answer it my way in my time. And two, if I answered every prayer in your way, in your time, would you really have any faith with me? Or would you see me as a divine prayer machine? You plug in a prayer, pull the handle, and you get the prayer, the answer you want. Like a divine candy machine, you know. And so we have to understand that God's building our faith, and he's using prayer to build our faith, and God's will and timing are so much better than ours. Mm-hmm. And perseverance moves us from wishing for things in our life to the assurance that God's things and God's way is best for us, because his way is always best. I think of the old hymn that says, his way is best, I will not murmur. And then it ends up with, his way is best for me. We need to remember that. Sometimes we give up too easily on our prayers. You know, I've knocked so many times and there's still no answer. And as a result, we quit praying for our own needs, or we quit praying for a particular need that another person has that we might know. We quit praying for our leaders, you know, and especially it seems like we quit praying for our government leaders, because we're looking around and we see all that's going on. And we say, why should I pray for them? Mm-hmm. Well, we should be praying more for them. Mm-hmm. We should be persevering in prayer, lifting them up. But here's the thing. It says in verse 8, if you knock, the door will be opened. It will be opened. You just have to wait for God's will and timing. So there's the three things about ask, seek, and knock. I've got a few other things I want to share beyond that, but we'll take some time for any prayer requests that may have came in.